Mercy and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for all of your blessings, your love, and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith that you gave to us. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us from the very beginning of time. Father, that you kept the promise that you made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that it was kept in the Garden of Gethsemane, that it was kept when Jesus was condemned, that it was kept in his crucifixion, that it was kept in his burial, in his resurrection 3 days later, and in his bodily ascension into heaven 40 days after that. Father, today, as we are in Palm Sunday, remembering what this event was all about, help us, Father, to grow in our understanding of you, to grow in our understanding of your keeping your promises to us. Father, help us to not only to grow in our understanding of these things, but help us, Father, to desire to be used by you in new ways that maybe that stretch us, that get us to take that next step, in that next level in our relationship with you, Father, so that we could experience the awesomeness of a closer walk with you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, Amen. It's Palm Sunday weekend, and it's important as you look at Palm Sunday to understand two basic things about this story, and then I believe to ask yourself a very simple question after that. If you would, I want to encourage you to open up your worship folders. Inside your worship folders, you'll see right after where it says the sermon title, there's a place there for discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to get out a pen or a pencil, because here's what I believe will happen. I believe that as you focus your heart and your mind on God's word in this message time, I believe that God is going to lay thoughts on your heart. And that what I should do as your pastor is to encourage you to jot these down. To then take them home, to think about them, to reflect on them, to pray for God's leading you in them. And underneath where those notes are, you'll see there's some suggested readings, and we're trying to encourage people in their discipleship walk to be more in God's word. And so these are shorter readings. They're about 15 verses apiece, and they follow the church year. So I want to encourage you to take this home with you and continue your discipleship during the week. The first thing that you have to understand about Palm Sunday is the donkey. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the thing is, when you hear most people talk about this donkey that Jesus rode in, what a lot of people will tell you is that, well, Jesus rode in on a donkey because he wasn't like a conquering soldier. He was humble, he was meek, he was lowly. That's why he rode in on a donkey instead of a big white stallion, because that's what conquerors would have done in those days. But brothers and sisters in Christ, the first thing you have to understand about the donkey that Jesus rides in on is that's just not accurate. The fact of the matter is that in Jesus' day, the Jewish kings rode donkeys all the time. They did it all the time. It was a symbol of their authority. If you have your discipleship notes open where you can write this down, I want to encourage you to write down this citation. You can look it up later more in depth. It's 1 Kings chapter 1. What's happening in 1 Kings chapter 1 is David is about to die. And he has a son by the name of Adonijah. And Adonijah wants to usurp the throne. He wants to take the throne for himself. And so you can read about there in chapter 1. And Adonijah does all these things to try and win favor, to get people over to him. Solomon thought he was going to be the king. And so when he sees that Adonijah is trying to take the kingship for himself, Solomon gets a little anxious. He gets a little worried. And so what does he do? He goes and he talks to his mom, like boys will do, even as adults. And so Bathsheba goes to David and says, hey, I thought Solomon was going to be the king. Adonijah's running around acting like he's the king. And it's really something to read there in chapter 1, because then David says, I'm gonna make this all crystal clear to everybody that Solomon is going to be the king. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get my donkey. And I want Solomon to ride on it. Because when the people see Solomon riding on the king's donkey, they will know that he is to be the king. And so that's exactly what they did. They got David's donkey, they put Solomon on it, and then Solomon processed into Jerusalem, much like Jesus did on Palm Sunday. The donkey that Jesus rode, it was significant because for a Jewish person in that day, they would have said, aha, this is a king. This is royalty. Not only that, though, the Gospels make a point of telling us something very interesting about this donkey, that it had never been ridden before. And that's significant. That's important to take note of because I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse before. Who here has ever ridden a horse before? Anybody, right? Did you ever ride one for the first time that it was ever ridden? Probably not. They're not going to put you on a horse that's never been ridden before because if they do that, what's that horse going to do? It's going to throw you off, right? I mean, when you are going to break in a horse, it's a whole long process. You have to put the blanket on. You have to play with its hair. You have to put a saddle on it. Then you cinch it. Then you lead it around by a rope. And after you've done all this for a great period of time, then you might, at great risk to yourself, do what? Step into that stirrup, get on top of that horse, and you don't know what's going to happen. But this donkey, right, that Jesus is riding on has never been ridden on before. And he's not just riding around in a little corral. Jesus is riding this donkey into Jerusalem. Thousands of people, they're waving palm fronds. Some of them are probably poking the donkey with it, right? And Jesus rides in, and there's not a problem. The donkey doesn't throw him off. Why is that significant? Because who is the creator of the universe? Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word made flesh, and through that Word, everything came into existence. And so in this act of this donkey being used by Jesus, we see that even the creation is subservient to the Creator. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? It's interesting, when Jesus tells the disciples to go and get this donkey, Jesus says to them, now if anyone asks you why you need this, tell them that the owner of it has need. Who's that owner? That owner is Jesus, because he's the creator of the universe. That is part of his creation. What's interesting also about this donkey is that it's never been used before. And one of the things that we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is that God would set aside animals that had never been used for their purpose before to be used in proclaiming his grace to the people of Israel. And so, for example, in the Old Testament, we read about the red heifer. The red heifer was an animal that was very unique, and it would never be used for what heifers would be used for, but it would be set aside, and then it would be burned, and its ashes would be spread on those who had come into contact with corpses. It would be used to make them clean ceremonially again. Jesus rides in on this donkey that's never been used before, but it's not the donkey that's going to be the sacrifice. It's going to be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to allow himself to be crucified. He's going to die, and 3 days later he's going to be raised from the dead, not just to heal people who've come into contact with corpses, but to heal all of humanity for all time for all of our sins. Can we give God a praise clap for that on Palm Sunday? Amen. Amen. There's two things you got to understand about Palm Sunday. You got to understand the donkey and why it's so significant to have a right understanding of that. And then it's also important to understand the palms that are used. Why are they waving palms? You know, people were probably asking that on that day because Palm Sunday is in the spring, and the Jewish people in Jesus' day didn't wave palms in celebration in the spring. They waved them in the fall at the service where they celebrated the temple, the booths. It's called Sukkoth in Hebrew. And so the palms would have been used in the fall in that service. But here we find the palms being used in this service, in this celebration. And so we are reminded that when God is on the move, how our worship looks can change. And that's an important lesson for us to remember, because a lot of times we want to try and control worship. We want to try and make worship in our image, what we're comfortable with, what we've always experienced. But what we see on Palm Sunday is something radically different. And what we hear on Palm Sunday is so important, because the Gospels tell us that the people there quoted from Isaiah and they quoted from Zechariah, and they said, "Behold, the King is coming." And they also said, "Behold, your salvation is near." And when you look at this in the Greek, it's almost the exact same sentence, except for two words, king and salvation. You can lay them over, those two sentences over on top of each other, king and salvation. And that's where we see what the kingship of Jesus is all about. The kingship of Jesus is not an earthly kingdom. The kingship of Jesus is to bring salvation, grace, and mercy to this fallen race, to reconcile us to the Father. And how does he do that? He does that for us today in the waters of our baptism. He does this at the Lord's table. He does this through the proclaiming of his word. He does this by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is when Jesus is king. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He didn't come to be saved, but to save. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? We have a wonderful mission statement as a church. We're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things: through our preaching, through our teaching, and through, you know it, living our daily lives. And that's what I want to wrap up the message with you about today. I want you to think about this for just a second. On Palm Sunday, there were three crowds. You need to get this. Really, you do. This is so important. There were three crowds on Palm Sunday. The first crowd was a crowd that went out to Bethany. We read about it there in John chapter 12. And why were they in Bethany? Well, Jesus was in Bethany. Why was Jesus in Bethany? Because Lazarus had died. His sisters Mary and Martha had asked Jesus to come and raise Lazarus from the dead. And so Jesus did. I'm just going to make the story kind of short for you. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. The word goes out, and all these people come. And the religious leaders are mad, right? Because all Jerusalem seems to be emptying out to go see Lazarus and Jesus. And so then it tells us in the Bible that then the religious leaders began to plot how they were going to kill Lazarus. I wish I could have been with Lazarus to see how he would have reacted. I bet you he laughed, right? He's already died once, right? He's already been raised from the dead once. I mean, when somebody says, "Oh, you know, the religious leaders are thinking about killing you," okay, great. I'm not too worried about it, because I know that I'm going to what? I'm going to rise from the dead, right? So the first crowd goes out to Bethany, where Jesus is with Lazarus. They're there. They get to see Lazarus raised from the dead. They get to talk to him to confirm this. They get to talk about the miracle, learn about the miracle, all these amazing things. And then it says in verse 17 that it was this crowd that then went back into Jerusalem and began to tell everybody that the Messiah was coming. That's the first crowd. Then we read a little bit further in the account for today, and we see a second crowd. The second crowd are those Jews within the city of Jerusalem who have heard now from the people who went to Bethany and came back that the Messiah is on his way. And so the second crowd, the scripture tells us, they're the ones who go to the edge of the city and they wait for Jesus and the procession to come in, and then they join. That's the second crowd. They're singing. They're carrying on. It's kind of interesting. In verse 16, it says the disciples didn't know what they were doing. I always like reading that verse. It's a reminder that we don't always need to know what we're doing to be used by God. See, sometimes some of us, we think we got to know everything. We got to have everything in place, just perfectly figured out. No, we don't. No, we really don't. We just need to be available to be used by God. So that's the second crowd. And then the third crowd, it says they're described as they came out of their home. So what I'm envisioning is that somebody probably knocked on the door and said, "Hey, you don't want to miss this. Messiah's here." So you got three crowds. So now, here's the thing. Listen to me now, please, listen. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Jesus loved all those people the same, whether they were in the first group, the second group, or the third group. Jesus loved them all the same. His love for them was not based on their works. Let's just get rid of all the straw man arguments, okay? So it's not about that, okay? But here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to think about. Which one of those groups had the best experience? Group one, group two, or group three? Which one had the most enriching experience? Hey, I think you'd have to say group one. Because group one gets to go out to Bethany, right? Group one gets to see Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Group one gets to walk with Jesus into Jerusalem. Then there's group two, and they get to walk with Jesus. They get to tell people, and then there's group three. And so here's my real question for you. My real question is, if you were looking at your life right now, which group would you be in? Nobody else can answer that question for you. Which group do you see yourself in right now? Group one, group two, or group three? Then my follow-up question is, do you want to stay there? Jesus loves you the same either way, so it's not about that. It's about you. What do you want to experience? Do you want to stay there? Are you ready to move up to first class or second class? Are you ready for that? Is that what you want? Because brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is our King of glory. And he invites you to walk with him and to experience that glory and to grow in that relationship with him, not just today, not just this week, but every day for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts.